And then someone went,
testing, 1, 2.
I can really taste the bacteria.
What's up, John? What's up, John Burton?
1, 2, 3, 4. Why you can't have a best?
Okay, wait. Let me rewind. John, you're right.
Right. I'm just going to play us in a little bit.
When are you going to tell me we're starting?
We started.
Okay. Awesome.
Less nervous?
Yeah, I mean...
We're just trying to get it all together.
I think for me, it's like... I was talking to Sandy on the ride here. I don't talk about this much, so... Mm-hmm.
It's not an easy subject. That's the
thing. Counseling for myself, right?
You're in the right place. Have you heard the show?
You can say no. No, Sandy sent a few things and we were like looking through, but I haven't dove deep.
So we're about 50% mental health, about 40% music,
yep.
And about 10% everything else. So you're going to be fine.
Yeah, totally fine.
Yeah.
And my thing too was like, you know, really getting the word out about the function that we have on Saturday.
Yep.
Who's playing, how it all came to fruition.
Sure.
So that's where we're going. We're just going to wing it.
Well, we started, so if you want. But it does. Yeah, I do that to everybody all the time. It's a dirty trick I do.
I like it.
Because if I say, okay, we're going to start in like 3, 2, 1, everybody gets nervous and chokes up. But so Sandy, you want to introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Sandy Vianney. I am a friend of the family. Here with Aubrey Canfield, Crystal's daughter, and how we came about doing this Compassion for Cody is her mom and I were at a function together, and she was just telling me what had happened with her grandson and if I could assist in any way to do a fundraiser to raise enough funds to get an emotional psychiatric service dog.
Mm-hmm.
So,
give me the details on the fundraiser first.
The fundraiser is this Saturday, September 14th at the VFW on 1 Violet Avenue in Poughkeepsie. It's from noon to 7. I have several bands, food trucks, and a lot of vendors. Kicking it off is Vito Petrosito has been instrumental, along with Greg Douglas. The Difference, I have Evil Genius. We have the band Eden. I have Mark Vendetta. I have Bernie Servodio's doing it this time with Jumpstart Acoustic. So we're like really have a huge lineup along with Pat O'Shea. So I've collectively gotten like a whole arsenal of like talent.
Fantastic.
For the day. Yeah. Chuck Ballantyne is providing sound and a sound man for the day. And I have 2 food trucks. I have Wingin' It from PC Paddock. I have Finelli's food trucks. I have several vendors. I'm going to try and read them all without my glasses. I have Katie's Page kits. I have Creative Designs. Forever Friends will be there. Violet Hill Designs. Who else? Laura's Sweet Treats. HAF Kitchens will be there. Mireille with her Rock-A-Tie. She does all sorts of hats and little pet attire as well. And that's what we're working on.
Buy tickets?
Tickets are $15 each.
Okay. Where do I get those?
There's a QR code. I will, you know, be able to provide that to you or at the door.
Okay.
So, and the food trucks, that's all, you know, verbatim. And then they have, you know, everything else is cash
that
the VFW provides. But what I also want to interject, too, is to please, anyone that is attending, bring non-perishable food items so we could stock, pile up for our veterans who are allowing us to do it at their venue. So that's inside and outside.
There's wonderful.
It's big stuff.
All right. Terrific. Audrey or Aubrey? I'm sorry.
Aubrey.
Aubrey. Okay. Hey, you hit the yellow. Nice. So you want to start at the beginning?
Sure.
All right.
Cody's story?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So
we're raising money for a service animal for Cody.
Yes.
All right. So Cody's story.
Cody is my firstborn son out of 5.
Oh, wow.
He is 20 years old.
You had 5 kids?
I have 5 children.
How old's the youngest?
7.
And Cody's?
20.
How come you look so good?
Genetics.
Crystal.
I have 1.
Clean eating.
And I'm 25 years old and I look like this. So it's not fair. Well, thank you very much.
So he, I had him young. I had him at 19. And Cody was diagnosed with autism at 18 months. We had early interventions come right away. And along the way, I thought, man, we're so blessed because he's higher functioning. So he, you know, he's going to have a good life, you know, and how lucky are we that, like, okay, we got this handed to us, but he's making it through. So all through school, there was always a struggle of where do we put Cody? Academically, he was really, really low. On the scales, like almost, like extremely low, taking in, like cognitively.
Right.
But then socially, he was able to kind of pull it together and be able to be, you know, like sometimes those contained classrooms had people flapping their, you know, blissfully happy in different ways. So Cody was very aware, but academically very low.
That is a tricky call.
It's the hardest. It's been the hardest challenge being his mom because academically he needed to be in the really the classes that broke things down very slowly. But socially he was higher. So there was always this place where Cody didn't fit. And then that became his identity. So he was put in these classrooms where he was made fun of because he was different, which we're all different, but he was visibly even different. He was anxious. He couldn't understand things. Then they gave him an aide, which was great, but then he was picked on because he had this aide walking with him. And so he went through a really tough school years in general. A couple very serious bullying moments that is every mom's worst nightmare.
Oh, no.
He got beat up in the gym locker room. I was 8 months pregnant with my fifth child. Oh. And I had just got him a cell phone. He was in sixth grade.
Right.
And he called me from the bathroom stall, locked in the bathroom stall, telling me, "It's okay, Mom. I'm okay." Thinking I must have heard what happened.
Right.
And then I'm like, okay, like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, they just beat me up, but I'm fine. Don't worry. I'm in the bathroom, like, calming me down. So I'm like, okay, you know, I'm going to call the school right now. I'm coming. And the school handled it beautifully. The schools were always trying their best.
Right.
But bottom line is there was just never this right fit for Cody. So now that he's an adult and in the adult world, I think he's just never felt in the right. He's just always felt like an outcast.
Right.
So he's unable to get his license. He's trying, but it's his anxiety and just his spatial awareness. There's a lot of difficult sensory things. So even if he understands the driving rules, it's just his body working with him.
Right.
All the things. So always just kind of feeling left out.
All right. You as a mom,
mm-hmm.
18 months you get the diagnosis, right? But you're okay with it until school starts and the differences really become more apparent. And then it's hard for any parent to know where to do this, but I imagine for you it must have been an hourly struggle. Like, how much do you parent versus how much do you let him learn on his own? Mm. And how do you to what degree do you overcompensate? Was that part of the...
I've totally overcompensated.
Why do you think that?
It's interesting you bring that up because I think his psychologists have mentioned a service dog. But I think for me, my biggest thing is now that he's 20 and the rest of my children are growing up, I can't overcompensate for him anymore. The job is too big.
Mm-hmm.
And just the thought of having this animal to kind of help, first of all, give him a purpose and make him feel like it's something is just his, but also to comfort him and be that thing that I really can't be all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's also not healthy.
Right, right. Why do you think you overcompensated though? Because I wouldn't begin to know where to draw that line. Like, I think I would probably err on the side of I'm doing everything. And, you know, your childhood is rough enough and I'm just going to do everything. But that's probably not right, but that's probably where I'd land.
You're absolutely right.
That's and where you landed too?
That's 100% where I landed, along with just feeling like that crushing moment when he is crying about something or anxiously talking about how his siblings are overcoming so many more things that, you know, like they're rising above him and I should be doing this and they're already doing this. And so
that's one of the cruelest parts of autism. One of the cruelest elements of autism is that self-awareness. Like, there's other challenges where you just don't have that level of self-awareness, and so you get it's bliss.
And that's what I was saying. You nailed it. I think that's been my hardest thing to watch, Cody, is he is so aware of his differences. And instead of – I've tried to tell him he's so special, his memory and the way he thinks of things, and he uses a side of his brain that I don't use – to him, it's like, thanks, Mom, but, you know.
Right, yeah. Right. Do you think there'll ever be a chapter where he can run with that? Because I'm like 61 years old and just now beginning to appreciate the differences I have with people. So do you think he'll ever?
I love that you said that, and I hope so. I can tell you that he had a suicide attempt and was – hospitalized for 2 weeks and then outpatient program for 3. And although that was probably the worst experience as a mother to kind of have to give over control and been in control my whole life. And
right.
They had to tell me that we're taking your son and there's nothing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
With that said,
crushing
for me, but he learned something in it. Talk about maybe overcompensating. I think he needed to experience that.
It's kind of like running a company. If you run a company only based on what you can do, like the show is basically me. So if I run this show only based on what I can do, the show is only going to be so big. But if I let somebody else produce it and I let somebody else do the marketing, the show becomes bigger. But that's hard to do because the show's my baby and I don't want to let go. And it's a struggle. And sometimes you need it taken away from you.
Perfect.
Because you feel like when you feel like, especially a mother to a child, this is not my child, a mother to a son, like there's guilt associated, right?
With every
time you don't do something, I would imagine there's guilt associated with that.
Absolutely.
So the suicide attempt, how did you find out about it?
So talk about guilt. So Cody is very responsible and never did I think it would turn to this. So he was on 4 different medications and I never even thought that they would be abused. So they're not opiates or anything like that. It's just to help mood stabilizing. So he has an absent father, unfortunately, and it's been a really tough 4 years and a lot of transition. And for autistic children, transition is the hardest thing. Mm-hmm. Autistic adults, too.
Right.
So he was trying to process the change and took 18 days worth of all his prescription medications at night. So I had no idea for 12 hours. He got up in the morning and I dropped him off at work and he was profusely vomiting at work. So they drove him home and I worked all day, came home with my little ones and he looked really sick. And I said, what is going on? Like, why didn't you tell me you were throwing up? Like, thinking he had a stomach bug?
Right.
And in front of my other children, including my littlest one, who we said is 7, he said, I actually tried to kill myself last night and took all my medicine. And it was just such a traumatic thing. I can't really explain. I don't even know what my other kids were thinking or seeing. I was bringing my one son, had to get to a basketball playoff. So I, in the midst of this craziness, I dropped him off at a basketball playoff game. Called my mom in Myrtle Beach crying hysterically. I said, you need to come home right now. My older daughter, who's 18, stayed with my 20-year-old. At that point, it was 12 hours after. And I called the hotline and kind of was like, what do I do? I think he might need his stomach pumped. And they said, you need to bring him to the emergency room immediately. Then, of course, I had friends and family saying, don't bring him. They're going to admit him. You can't bring him there.
No, bring him.
And I said, yeah. And pretty much then I was like, I don't want to hear what anybody else has to say. Yeah. I am a part of a fabulous church who rallied up and really prayed for us. And I believe when I say that that was the scariest, most awful time in our lives, there was a moment where Cody was he was obviously in the hospital for 2 weeks, then outpatient for three. He learned he's not alone. And I think that's been the biggest. We're not in the clear. Things are still really tough. But he definitely has seen that there's people like him. I think he lived in this hole that nobody else is like me.
Mm-hmm. And the differences thing. Now there's not so many differences.
Now he saw a lot of people that were suffering just like him while he was there.
I've been in that surreal spot where you're like in a moment of life or death crisis, but there's something every day that has to get done too. Oof. That's like the weirdest space on the planet, isn't it?
I can't.
One of the things I like about music is I think that we have to think that we've developed a verbal language that can describe everything we're feeling is stupid. We have, we haven't and we probably never will. And music can communicate feelings that, that words don't. There's no word for that feeling when somebody's trying to take their life. In my case, it was me. And there's an everyday thing that has to be done. It's just the weirdest space on the planet.
It really is.
Right?
Yeah.
Are you in therapy?
We just had this conversation on the way up here. I'm pushing her that way.
I need to be. I'm very.
Or you can just do the show every week. Okay. It's cheaper.
Some good company.
There you go.
I'm on my way.
Okay. How are you not broken?
That would definitely be God.
Okay.
I definitely have a big faith. I hate organized religion, so I don't want you to sit here and look at me and think I'm a legalistic person who, Bible thumps at you. Right. But I have a personal relationship with the Lord, and he's definitely carried me through. This with Cody, a really tough divorce with lots of abuse and addiction. And not only me, but my kids, we're all still standing and really blessed. I also have the best mom ever. I meant to make sure I say that.
Right.
Who has given us a place to live and literally made it possible for us to be okay. So,
have you been – you're Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been Christian your whole life?
I was raised Christian and then kind of fell and did some rebel stuff and, lived a little.
Good. And need a little bit of that.
I 100% needed that to meet Jesus the right way. I was living off of like that faith that you just learn as a kid and, the religion part of it. And then personally, met him.
That's so I grew up in Rhinebeck.
Okay.
I went to Dutch Reformed Church in Rhinebeck my whole life. Growing up, and it was great. They were great. Went to a church school. Was at one point was going to be a pastor.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, and then discovered girls, and initially the guitar was for God, but then the guitar became for girls. And I know what you talk about. So I went to a Christian school out in the Midwest, where I was like the only person under 6 feet and the only person with brown hair because it's all like these Dutch football fucking giants. but I could play guitar. So, we had chapel. You had to go to chapel 3 times a week. And the culture of that organized religion just so disagreed with me.
Yeah.
That I felt like Cody. Like I'm just so different from everybody else here who loves this shit, and I don't. I left the church for a long time, and then I started. Then I came back to church, and I just went to church for the last time like a year and a half ago, because. So listen to this. So I go to this church, and they asked me to be president of it. And I say, yeah, but it was a very, very small church. Like, you know, on any given Sunday, 18 people. And I had gone to it a long time ago. So 18 people. And I'm like, look, I will come here. I want to grow this back to what it was. You got to sign on with me. And they're like, yeah. And be president, right? So we start growing, and this lady comes to the congregation. Lady comes to the congregation, and she says, I want to donate $5,000. Use it how you see fit. Great, right?
Great, yeah.
I mean, in this church, $5,000 is...
Needed it.
Yeah. So I go, okay, there's this... And she said, I'm going to present one option to you. Her option was, I don't remember the island, but $5,000 would clothe and feed and put three kids through school for a year on this island. And once you're in the school, they can't kick you out. So it's a private school. But once you're in the school, if you get in first year, the scholarships, whatever they do, they'll carry you. Now, this church was small, but it was in a ridiculously affluent community. And in this ridiculously affluent community, which I'll tell you about the minute these mics go off, in this ridiculously affluent community is a jazz festival. Now, this jazz festival is famous. It runs for 14 weeks.
Wow.
It's world-class jazz musicians.
Big stuff.
It's hosted at people's – it's Great Gatsby. It's hosted at people's backyards, and hundreds of people go, and it's great. The pastor of my church really loved jazz. So she said, no, I want to hold a jazz concert and hire jazz musicians. And I was like, what the fuck? You can't – 3/4 mile down the road is a world-class jazz festival. And how is a jazz festival servicing anybody? And we could change 3 lives. And she said, no, when I network, I'm going to host a jazz festival and pay somebody on the church staff that we were already paying to play piano anyway. And I was like, you know what? Where 2 or more are gathered in my name, yeah, but they also mess 99.999% of everything up. So I just couldn't do that anymore.
That's breaks my heart. I, you know, flesh people.
Yeah,
they really don't represent Jesus, right?
No, they do not. They didn't when he was here either.
No,
but
he picked the losers.
Yeah,
he picked the rebels. He picked the tough guys. And I love that because God alone has a lot of grace for our mistakes. But we're called higher, especially pastors. So
right.
that's a crummy story.
Yeah, it's really crummy.
But I heard this once.
Go.
Have you ever been to a restaurant and they served you bad food?
Yeah.
Did you stop going to restaurants?
Yes.
No. Maybe that one.
No, I did.
You went to another one.
Right.
So I promise you there's probably good churches out there.
There probably are. It's just, and maybe it's me, but but the point of me not going to church was, but now my faith is completely different. Mm. Because like you, I'm like, all right, I'm just going to do this for myself and see what's happening. And I almost think that's where it's supposed to be. And I'm not necessarily Christian anymore. But my relationship to whatever I think God is has it completely redefined because
faith
and just like seeing it with my own 2 eyes instead of being told it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
experience.
When I look at any relation, you know what triangulation is in relationships?
Yeah.
Okay. That's what church is.
Yeah.
It's a triangulation. So communication gets messed up almost all the time.
Yeah.
Prayer is direct communication. That works.
Yeah. Religion is man-made and God is
not.
Right,
right.
You
meditate?
I pray. I definitely spend time with the Lord. I try to do that every day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you work out?
I do.
What do you do?
Like HIIT classes.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. The divorce must have really sucked given – divorce sucks no matter what. Given the word absent, it sucks –
Even more times three,
and
yeah, well, high school sweethearts. I was my one and only. We were together since I was 15.
Aww.
And he's a good person. He just fell into addiction deep, and it got really dark and ugly. And you know, I stayed too long. But
did you try to fix that for him?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Mm. Yeah, it took so when you said absent makes it really hard. It does, but I also
it's
feel
almost
really,
a relief.
Yeah, I feel really blessed that he doesn't have any
Contact.
Yeah, he can't. He can't mess with them right. anymore.
Oh, he messed with the kids.
Not physically ever. No, right. But very mentally. Yeah.
That's a
hard. Addiction starts to, you know, you become such a victim, and you don't realize what you're doing to people. It's just what's been done to you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's right. He's living the true hell. But unfortunately, the kids were too, and he couldn't see what the kids, you know. So, yeah, it makes it tough, but I also see the blessing in it.
Yeah, yeah. And that, going to back to organized religion for a second, to be in a religion that would frown upon that choice when it's probably saving lives.
Mm-hmm.
Might have saved his, too.
Yeah.
You never know.
Mm-hmm.
That just tips my head sideways.
Yeah, I got to tell you, my pastors are tough what? Guys, and they wanted me to leave him. They hated that I was still with him, and it was – they're very protective and very much pushed me to –
What denomination is this church?
It's non-denominational.
That's why. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, they're great examples
that's
of Christian
That's the future
men.
Of successful yeah. religion is non-denominational churches.
I think that's what Jesus was trying to get across.
Yeah.
Just nobody was catching on.
Right, right, right. So it must be – there's only so much you, right?
Yeah.
I imagine that you live in kind of a state of constant never enough because Cody could be a full-time job.
He is.
Is a full-time job.
He is. He's the heart, and the whole family is I don't know how to use the right – I don't know the right word. I'm going to say scared of his reaction to things, and we're always on edge, and we're – We are all like, we all have to be very aware of our actions around him. We all have to be a certain way, or he has.
Can never put your feet up.
Never, never. Good, you're good at finding words, too.
It's my job. What do you do to mitigate that for your younger children? Or is there anything you can do?
Yeah, they got the crap end of the stick with that. I try my best to just talk to them individually, like, hey, how you feeling
That's
about
the
that?
Move. That's the move.
Yeah.
One-on-one.
That's the they love him, though.
They all love him a lot.
Yeah. That's
huge.
It's another so difficult thing to negotiate when you're 7 years old. I know a little bit about this, too. When you're 7 years old and you love something and you're afraid of it at the same time,
oof.
That has the potential to twist everything because that's you're learning about love.
Yeah, I know. That's
and acceptance.
So true.
But the great thing I think about your divorce is that's an excellent example of self-preservation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I love something, I'm afraid of it. Ultimately, I can make ultimately, it's okay to make a decision that's based on self-preservation.
For sure. Yeah, and the kids saw that firsthand. There was abuse, and that's when I had to really put my foot down, and they witnessed it, and it was like, this will never be something you guys will think is okay, you know?
Right. So. Mm. Okay, want to hear a good story?
Yeah.
All right, so it's about 10 years ago. 10 years, listener, you can fast forward because you've heard this story. Audrey has not. You can fast forward, like, give me 4 minutes. So it's 10 years ago. I'm clinically diagnosed with 7 different mental illnesses. I'm on 7 different drugs. I'm facing 350 years in jail for 52 felony counts. I'm sitting here, so you know how that worked out. And I'm suicidal. And
rightfully so.
Right? And at the time, my daughter was 7 years old.
Okay.
So, and I was nuts. I was sit in your underwear, look for aliens with a BB gun, nuts. And these medications are counterindicating. So mm-hmm. one of them is lithium. If you're John Burton and you take lithium, it turns toxic in your body and actually becomes a poison. So I'm killing myself wow. while taking a pill that's supposed to stop me from killing myself. And I could feel it. So I'm like, and I'm telling you the story for a reason. So I'm like, okay, I have to, I'm just going to purge all these drugs out of my system,
mm-hmm.
and then see, maybe I can manage this myself, right?
See where it takes you.
Yeah. So I tell everybody in my life, I'm purging myself of these drugs. I'm getting off them. And everybody's like, you're fucking crazy. And, right? Mm-hmm. and it's tacky to tell a crazy person they're crazy, but okay, I can look past it.
Yeah, that's true.
But I was, so they were right. So, like, literally everybody abandoned ship. Like, nobody wanted to be around that train wreck, and I don't blame them, except my daughter. My daughter's 7 years old. We get a house by a lake, and I say, I need 2 months just to clean up. It's going to be withdrawal. It's going to be ugly. It's going to be a shit show. Nobody wants to see it. The physical withdrawal, forget the
mental. Was it just prescription medication, or was there other things?
No, prescription medication.
Okay.
But opioids, mm-hmm. and I said, I'm going cold turkey. My doctor's like, I'm quitting you. And I'm like, I'm telling you, it's the only way. I know me. It's the only way I'm going to be able to do this. So my 7-year-old daughter says, I'm staying with her. Right? So I start withdrawal, and it's puking in buckets 13 hours a day. It's sleeping in, it's wrapping yourself in a towel, and 5 minutes later taking it off because the towel's drenched. It's shaking. It's no appetite. It's not showering. It's blah, blah. My 7-year-old daughter stays with me, makes me peanut butter sandwiches, forces me to walk to get the mail, tells me stories to get me outside, like will walk me in a circle and just make up a 2-hour story so that I would get some exercise walking outside. So she saw all that at the end of the thing. Now, my plan all along was I'm going to go, then this was during the summer, and my plan was if this doesn't work out, I'm going to take my life when she goes back to school, because at least when she goes back to school, there's a network and support and blah, 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 right? So I get to the end of the summer, and I look at the work she did, and I'm like, the lesson she's going to get is work results and love doesn't work. And I'm like, I can't do that. So fast forward to now. So my daughter saw that horrible thing that you should never see. You should never see your father.
But she saw you fight.
She saw me fight. And then she saw me go through the justice system. And no 7-year-old should have to see that either.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no way to hide it. I was gone for 4 weeks. There was no way to hide that.
Yeah.
So she saw that horror. And then she saw my wife got that head and neck cancer. And it was terrible. They cut her head off. They burned her face off. It took her a full year to recover from the treatment. Not a full year to recover from the treatment. It was horrible.
My gosh.
She saw all that. So I asked my daughter at the end. So my wife is crying, and she says, "I don't. This kid has seen too much. Like, this isn't. No kid should have to see this kind of thing. This is going to torque her for life. We're failing his parents." And my wife can't lift her head, and she's just crying, and she can't lift her head. So I'm like, all right, I've got to go talk to her about it. So I sit my daughter down, and I go, Graham, her name is Gramercy. I go, Graham, I'm crying. This has not been the least bumpy road of any childhood. I go, what's your take? And she said, I saw two people stick together.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so my point to you is, you think they're seeing one thing, and now she's going to become a forensic psychologist to fix the criminal justice system, and every day she calls me, she asks how her mom is. So you think they're seeing something? Sometimes ask, because you get surprised.
It's so true.
Yeah.
Because this is my personality. I got to tell you, have you ever read Romans 8:28?
I probably have, but I can't quote it.
He works all things meant for our evil, for good.
Okay.
And that's your daughter right
yeah.
there.
Oh, yeah. 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 And she's the most – I have no right to have it. I'm way too off the charts to have a daughter this balanced and sane. But she is. And so, like you said –
You did good.
Well, exactly. Somebody did. I don't know. But so – like, if that helps with the guilt.
That's it. No, you're absolutely right. And it's a good reminder for me to keep asking, because I did right after all this happened and haven't recently. So I'm going to go back and...
Yeah, just check in.
Yeah.
You can read it when we leave.
Yeah.
Have to show it to me.
Yeah. And And it also helps, like, I think part of the trick of parenting, I mean, I'm not that great at it, but part of the trick of parenting is just not providing answers and just listening and just saying, like, you know, yeah, that does suck. Because there's some things in life you can't fix.
Yeah.
And if you teach a kid that there's everything is fixable, you're setting them up for failure.
Failure.
Right?
That's failure. So true.
Yeah. Sandy, you have kids?
Oh, yeah.
How many?
Two adult children. 36 and 34.
Well, they weren't born adult, right?
I don't know. Sometimes I think they might have been. Yes.
Grandchildren?
Yes, three.
What's grandchildren like?
Amazing. We were just with them in Florida. That's why we went down. So that's huge. Hugely amazing. They're all perfect.
Do you tell your kids that the grandkids are better?
Always. Yes.
I always wonder how a kid processes that.
No, they're all good.
Right.
I mean, you know, they're very well adjusted, and we're very blessed. So I got to knock on wood for that. So yeah, it's all good energy.
So what kind of there's training for care animals, right?
Yeah, big time. That's where the fundraiser comes in. Is
okay.
Because it's a huge expense. It's not just the training. It's the long term. It's the whole lifespan of the dog. It's getting the dog. It's getting acclimated to everything that goes through it. I am not well versed in the whole thing. I'm just the catalyst for getting the event together, all the music makers and everybody. It's a godsend. Mm-hmm. And I was put on this path by running into her mom and sitting on a blanket with her. And when she told me Cody's story and Aubrey's story, the backstory, which I just said to her, I had no idea that that's what her life has been like with the divorce and all of that.
Mm.
You know, so I just sat and I looked her right in the face. I said, I'm on it. And that was June 15th.
Fantastic.
And the event is September 14th, so it's not even been 3 months.
Right.
So from that day forward, and, you know, like, I'm like, I kind of need to know the backstory, which, I mean, it's written down. I can read it if that's okay.
Sure.
I think this will, you know, get a little bit more to, you know, what's going on and, you know, like the whole nine yards of pretty much what Aubrey just said. But it said, compassion for Cody. This is a very difficult subject for our family to share. Our hearts have encouraged us to share our struggles in supporting our dear Cody while maintaining his dignity and respecting the young man he is becoming. We all know how harsh the world can be to navigate in just our ordinary day-to-day lives. And for a young adult on the autism spectrum, navigation through this same world is truly overwhelming. For a young person with autism who also struggles with depression, fear and shame quickly overtake them when their minds and emotions cannot keep up with the daily demands. Demands that to some without autism seem small and inconsequential. A person with autism is too frequently just on the edge of perpetual overwhelm. Their minds are flooded with daily demands, miscommunications, past experiences of presence, not quite fitting in, and still not comprehending why. I'm going to fast forward to, you know, this part. We share all of this to bring us to the present situation that we have experienced with our beautiful soul, Cody. He is so kind and thankful for family and his church community. Cody has so much to give. As he matures, his struggles and his thoughts, fears, and disappointments have become much more overpowering to the point that this past year were co-escalated into a traumatic event that threatened Cody's very life. We as a family could see he was more troubled and uneasy in his own body, but had no concept of just how Cody was feeling, that he was overwhelmed by his emotions and thoughts so greatly that Cody would decide to end his own life. That night, Cody made a decision fully believing this act would make the pain end forever. We are so grateful that Cody was unsuccessful in the attempt to take his life. Our family was terrified for what this meant for his future. Fast forwarding to the idea of the service dog is such a new idea for us, but if Cody would have had a service dog before, the dog would have alerted us to Cody's tenuous emotional state. A service dog could provide Cody with more independence in his life and would be able to alert us and him if he is in a dangerous emotional space. The trained service dog would help day-to-day emotionally with Cody's emotional needs. Now, after researching the benefits of a trained psychiatric autistic service dog could bring to Cody's quality of life, we have discovered that the cost is prohibitive and running into several thousands of dollars. I'll leave that one to present. It really is an astronomical amount of money. So that's where the whole.
Yeah. What? Well, put a number on it. What is it?
This could be 30, could be 40, could be 50 or more.
Thousand.
Right.
Yeah.
The So do you the service dog, when you get them, they're trained. So you're purchasing that up front.
Well, correct. We're working on all of the details of,
right.
you know, who.
But I mean, just what yeah. that's the model, though, right? I mean,
right. And what I was reading about is, like, as they train
the dog. See if I can find a picture for you.
Yeah, as they're training the dog, they will bring Cody in during okay. some of the training process. Mm-hmm. So they become connected even before we actually get to take the dog home.
Right.
I mean, obviously, there's initial training processes that happen before Cody would even come in the picture.
Right.
But then the end part of
well, they train together.
Training. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
My wife broke her ankle, and that's our dog basically draping. Dogs are like.
Oh, my gosh. Your wife is right? beautiful.
Oh, thanks. Isn't that crazy? Dogs are.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
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 And the breed that is a golden retriever.
It's the best my for first autism dog. Yeah, man. That makes complete
psychiatric
sense.
Psychiatric issues.
So there's the initial cost.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, there's monthly costs, you said. What are those? Is that just regular monthly dog costs?
Everything.
Okay. Right. Vets. Because service dogs have to have, like, everything up to date at all times because they're allowed to go everywhere. You know,
right.
if it says no dogs, usually a service dog is an exception. Right. So you have to just always.
And if they're not, just don't go there.
Right.
If you're against service dogs, then I don't want to be there.
I don't want to be there.
Right,
yeah.
right. And then do you have any other pets right now?
We do.
What do you have?
I have a Yorkie and she's 8 years old. Her name's Clementine.
Very nice.
Yeah.
That's too. I was thinking like an annuity that would throw off interest, but that's too big a number to get there.
We also have Mental Health America. They're going to have a big presence there that day at the event on
Wonderful.
The 14th.
Wonderful.
So they're going to have a van. So if there's people that even want help for themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's going to be people to
right.
speak to. And so that's huge.
Right.
So
right.
we're
okay.
very blessed in all of it.
This works. The service dog comes. It works. It will.
It's going to.
What's next for you?
I can maybe work on myself a little bit more. I think that, like you said, that fear always kind of feeling like I feel like one thing I didn't talk about, and it's, again, I want to respect Cody's privacy, but with his autism and some of his diagnosis, there's also bipolar disorder in this. So he has a lot of very mm-hmm. highs and very lows.
Sure.
And it can really affect the family when he's in a low. And so my hope is with all the intervention put together, but the dog extreme, you know, I just think having something to help me help
yeah.
him is going to allow some space for me to maybe help me.
Now, this is stupid cliche, but you ever give yourself a break? Like that you got here?
Yeah, I do see that sometimes.
Okay, that's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
That you don't look comfortable with that.
I'm working on it.
Fair enough. All right. Well, why are you uncomfortable about it?
Oh. Because here still feels like I hope we can get to a better place than here.
You can.
Yeah.
But you, somebody said this to me once, I think, or I might have said it to myself. You can't get there without being here.
Oof. Yeah. That's good.
So just the fact that you got here.
It's huge.
Yeah. Means you can get there. If you weren't here, because believe me, there are a lot of outcomes that aren't where you are right now.
That's
right?
So true. Yes.
And you're captaining the ship. So
yeah.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Do you think Cody would ever not live with you?
No.
Okay.
I mean, I hope so. I hate to say no, but that's a reality I've had to take in lately, is
mm-hmm.
that most likely he's with me forever, and maybe that's why I had him at 19.
Or
mm-hmm.
there's a chip in 5 years, and you know about Neuralink. You're about Neuralink, right? There's two patients right now,
okay,
that have Neuralink chips,
okay,
and Neuralink chips. They were designed to help people that with paralysis move their limbs again.
Wow.
But now that two people have them, they're finding out all kinds of other radical ways that these chips, which are implanted, it's a hair, like about an inch and a half long, and it's got a whole bunch of receptors on it, and it changes. So when you have a thought, an electron goes from one spot and goes to another, right? And
dopamine.
And in people with challenges like me and Cody, all the electrons don't necessarily go where they're supposed to go, and they're finding that these neural links can change where those electrons are going. So treats depression.
Wow.
Yeah. Treats bipolar. Treats all kinds of things. So in 5 years, you might be moving in with Cody instead of the other way around. No, it's incredible technology.
Wow.
Yeah, really incredible.
I got to look this up, read more about it.
It's different than just, you know, dropping a pill to stop the dopamine and the dopamine receptors.
Yeah.
Right.
So
it's like there's a little chip and it's a block and it's there.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's working for addiction. It's working for.
Yeah. It's really incredible. Yeah. So buckle up.
Okay. I'm going to buckle up.
Next 5 years may not look like what you have imagined.
And that is true.
Yeah. So do you date?
No.
Is that?
I'm not ready.
Okay.
Yeah.
How soon was the divorce?
I left in 2021. Okay. Divorce finalized 2023.
That's a rough process, man.
Yeah.
I have a rant against marriage.
Yeah?
I do. Yeah.
How long have you been married?
25 years. But I'm against it. I'm not against it emotionally. I'm against it as a listener, you've heard this too, so fast forward another 4 minutes. I'm against it legally. I start my rant like this. If you went to a bank, one bank, and put all your money in that bank, and over 50% of the time, that bank failed and you only got half your money back, you would not go to that bank anymore.
True.
That's what marriage is legally. It's a bet that you're going to lose half. Mm. And statistically, it's Las Vegas. Statistically, the odds are on the house. They're not on you.
Yeah.
So I I've had lawyers in here talking about this. I've actually turned family lawyers around because once you start thinking, not again, I'm not talking about cohabitation. I'm not talking about lifetime commitment. I'm not talking about any of this. I'm talking about the legal structure of the institution of marriage. I bet you in 200 years is the butt of a joke.
Yeah.
People will say, wait, you met somebody, went to Vegas, signed a piece of paper, and now they own half of everything you have for the rest of time. And by the way, it used to be, it got even more absurd because it used to be that – all right, well, somebody has to have done something wrong to break this. Now it's just, now I changed my mind. Give me half.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just as a legal institution, it's a bizarre concept. Now, we needed it when we were on the farm, and I had to keep you on the farm. So I needed to lock you down and tell you that God was going to send you a very hot place if you didn't live with me on the farm and take care of the kids. But we don't have the farm anymore, so mm-hmm. we can reimagine this whole thing, and almost everybody who's been through a rough divorce is like, it's radical, but I can kind of see it.
Yeah,
yeah.
But then there's stories like yours, and she stuck by you, and
I'm not saying the relationships don't work.
Yeah,
I'm saying
like the piece of paper.
The piece of paper doesn't work.
Yeah, the legal system.
Yeah,
I guess I go to marriage biblically.
Which is completely different.
No, but whoever said it had to be legally all of those things.
That's my point.
Yeah, God just really wanted you to make an oath to somebody.
I don't buy off on all of the Bible, but the Bible's version of marriage is spot on.
It is.
You go to you. When it gets hard, stick it out. Mm-hmm. When it gets really hard, stick it out. At some point, it's going to be too hard. Don't stick it out. But work as hard as you can because that can be the central pillar of your life. And by the way, it's my gift to you as God, and it can be fantastic. And by the way, me and Trish, it wasn't 25 years of bliss.
No marriage. If you said it was, then you'd be lying.
Right. Yeah.
Big fallacy.
Yeah, yeah. But no. And going through that cancer thing changed a lot too because you
opened your eyes.
Yeah. Well, what you? It's the exact. this is why relationships are so weird. It was the exact opposite of what happened to you. When I saw Trish go down, I realized, okay, this is how much I love her. And like maybe I wasn't getting it until then, mm-hmm. but this is how much I love her. And this is, and now there's no way any other, this is the only path and get it done. And, but it's so funny how relationships happen, because then your ex goes down and the healthy path for you is the exact opposite.
Yeah.
Or I got to blow town because this is,
dangerous.
Yeah. that's so weird. And then like with the four other kids, you need like a Brady Bunch situation.
Yeah.
You know, you need, okay, we'll put the 2 years. You need another 2 years?
Hey, if the right guy comes up, but he's going to have to be so special.
What's that? Okay, yeah. Okay, sir, if you're listening. She's pretty. She's very nice. She's true to her word. There's four other kids in Cody that you're going to have to work out. So if you got to bring some kids to the party.
Yeah. I have three boys, two girls. So what's the Brady Bunch? 4 and 4, right?
Oh, yeah.
Putting that out
3
there.
3 and 3, right?
3 and 3.
3 and 3? Yeah. Okay.
All right. So we aim for those numbers.
All right.
Just email the show and I'll hook you up if you pass my vetting system.
I like this.
Very few people get through the vetting system. So don't worry. You will not be bothered with random candidates. I will only do a dating show next. We're gonna.
Oh boy.
We're gonna do a speed dating show.
All right.
But because speed dating, I think, is hilarious. And I just want like a bunch of. I'm trying to put together like four men and four women who have nothing to do with each other, and we sit in here, and on each mic I record what you say in 2 minutes that you think is going to get you
a date.
Because I think that. I bet if I play that back, it's like the funniest thing in the world.
Oh, my gosh. I'd listen.
What would you say? 2 minutes. Go.
I don't know. I need time. I mean, you would have to be willing to. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to think about it. I'm too on the spot here. Oof.
You're burning.
Sorry, guys. Come back. Tune into the dating.
I'll have you back. Come on the show, and you'll have enough time to work.
Yeah,
on
I mean,
it.
My biggest thing is you got to love Jesus with me. I mean,
there it is. Okay, fine.
That's my biggest thing. I can't ever, and I'd love if you played the guitar and loved Jesus, right?
Oh, there you go.
That's right, a music show here.
See,
married to a musician.
There you go.
That's
that's a double edged sword. Yeah. but yeah, no, a guy who plays the guitar and.
Loves Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have one of my absolute best friends in the world. She's been on a show. Her name's Elena. Her faith is like yours, and she's a single mom. And she's like the same thing. You got to love God, and helps if you play the guitar.
Really?
Yeah.
We should be friends.
You would love her. Yeah. You would love her.
Give her her number.
I will. You would love. She's the best person. One of the best people I know. Okay, so I'm taking Trish to chemo. Trish had to get chemo and radiation for forever, so I'm taking Trish to chemo. And I'm like, I'm not a caregiver.
Okay.
So
it's really out of your nature.
Woo! And so I got the house, and I got Gramercy, and I got the show, and I got life. And
oof.
I'm driving down, and like Trish can see everything held together with a thread, but she can't do anything about it because she can't lift her head up, let alone...
My
anything
gosh.
Else. So she's just sitting in a chair all day just looking at it. So I'm driving down and Elena calls. And we have that Bluetooth in the car. So I pick it up and she goes, hey. And I go, hey. She goes, I'm on my way to your house. I have a bucket and I have a grocery bag. And I'm going to clean your house and put food in it. And like the only words Trish said that whole week were, oh, she gets it.
that's beautiful. Make you cry. That's beautiful.
I will hook you up with Elena. You will. I'm having lunch with Elena tomorrow. I will hook you up. You guys would definitely hit it off. What would you do for 2 minutes on a dating app, on speed dating?
I've been married for 37 years. It's November, and today's 37. Actually 30. Today's 38 years since our first date, September 10th, 1986. So
what's the trick?
I couldn't even imagine being single. And what it would take to, like she's saying it, you know, Jesus and a guitar. I would just, I don't know. I mean, I don't envy, you know, that search for people. What's the trick? I don't know. I mean, that's, I don't have 2 minutes.
Well, you have it.
I do. Yeah. I'm blessed.
Okay. So what's
work.
The trick?
It's work.
Work.
It's every day. It's beyond a full-time job. It's beyond 24/7.
Yeah.
You know, and it's accepting, you know, no one is perfect. Well, except for us three right here, but that's a given.
But listener, you're not perfect.
No, they say find the crazy that you can live with.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You know what I knew? We're like 3 or 4 months in, and we're in like this roaring argument about I don't know what. Roaring argument, and I'm about to get to the top of my mountain and win this thing. And Trish looks at me and she goes, oh, wait. And I go, what? And she goes, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Just out of the blue. I'm like, oh, wow. Okay.
I'm going to marry her.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, right? I'm like, oh, okay. If that's a trick, it's a really good one.
That's a good one. All right, I'll put that in my pocket.
Yeah, it's a really good. Even sometimes, if you're not wrong, just do it anyway because your stock goes so far up.
Okay. Right? All right.
It's a good trick.
Write that one down, Sam.
I'll try. I don't have a pen.
No, I'm just kidding.
We'll get a copy of this at some point.
Yeah, you'll have a copy of the whole thing. All right, the fundraiser.
Yes, sir.
You'll be there?
I'll be there.
It's a great one. I point at people because it's a radio show and nobody knows. Sorry. Aubrey, you'll be there?
Aubrey will be there and my kids, but Cody, I don't know how long is going to be able to be there. Some of this is a little big for him.
Sure.
And he's getting more anxious as we get closer. Near closer. So he might not be there just for his own, you know, mental health through it.
Definitely.
It's a beautiful thing, but it's making him anxious.
Then it's probably best he doesn't make an appearance. Everybody knows he exists. Everybody's, you know, banding together for it. So, I mean, whatever's best in his interest.
Yeah.
That's
can almost see his perspective.
Right?
Like, I don't know if I'd want to walk in a room. Like, nobody wants to be that guy.
No. Yeah, exactly.
And he's aware. That's what she mentioned before.
Right.
He's so aware, like, you know.
Right.
Overly aware at times. So
I can totally see where that would be overwhelming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But me and the 4 other kids will definitely be there.
Beautiful. Beautiful. And where is there, Sandy?
The VFW at 1 Violet Avenue, Poughkeepsie, New York.
At noon.
Yes, sir.
And I can get tickets beforehand.
Yes, there's the QR code. There's phone numbers or you right at the door.
Okay. So is it easier at the door or do you?
Yes. I mean, it's 6 and 1, half a dozen the other.
Right.
I mean, 845-705-2069. Call me anytime. I have tickets on me now.
Okay.
You could buy some.
Beautiful.
That'd be great.
All right.
See you there.
I'm actually coming.
Oh.
He's playing the night before Joseph in Hyde Park.
So I'm on the fence. It depends on how crazy that night
depends
gets.
Depends on the night goes.
Okay. Yeah.
You'll be fine.
I'm not a night person. And I guess to the show. So I don't play out much. And I'm not a night person. I just don't like going out at night.
It's early. It's an early gig.
6:30 to 9:30.
Yeah, but it's going to be a fun place to go. I feel like Joseph's is a good crowd.
I've never been.
You're going to like it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And I get up every day at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh.
So I legit go to bed.
I read what you post
every
day.
Yeah.
In the morning because I'm up at the same time.
It's ugly. And so like for me, like 7 o'clock is legit bedtime. So, but Friday I'm going to.
You'll make it.
Yeah.
You'll survive.
Yeah.
You might need to sleep in.
I'll coffee up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I can do it. All right. So one more time, the fundraiser is this Saturday.
Saturday, September 14th, Compassion for Cody. A Village Unites is what we titled it.
Because okay,
it really
beautiful.
Takes a village
right.
to do anything. And I cannot be more thankful to everyone that has been involved from the first phone call. And I will interject that Vito Petrosito. I've known him since I was a child. He's like, you know, my brother from another mother. His exact words to me when he said, San, he's like, what do you get out of this? Doing something like this, taking something like this on. And without skipping a beat, I said, another stair.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I get another step up.
Yep.
Because this is in me.
Beautiful.
And I have not flinched for her family, for everybody's safety. And their well-being, that's my goal.
Beautiful.
And I'm blessed.
Yeah, Sandy's worked very hard, nights.
Second nature.
Yeah. you come alive during it, too, Sandy.
That's
awesome. For Aubrey, there's 10 two-letter words that someone told me a long time ago. If it is to be, it is up to me. So you need to take that from this, and you do too. I do, and everybody that's in listening ears. So
beautiful.
I'm getting a little emotional. So
that's the show.
God bless.
Man.
That's it.
It's awesome to meet you. I will try to be there Saturday.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a success. The dog is going to make a giant difference.
It will.
And you're a really cool person. Thank you for opening up like that.
I feel the same way. Thank you.
No, my pleasure, man. All right, I'm John. That was Home From Here.
We're off. The mics are still on, but
I cut it. Wow.
The mic's off.
Good girl.
It's fantastic.